You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has almost closed its doors for the day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. Normally it would be the double-headed dream team of David Shapiro and Nick Kunze, but Nick Kunze is away on private business, so it's just myself and David Shapiro. And David, market's under a wee bit of pressure at the moment. I'm trying to work out why, but I've got the S&P futures in front of me down 1%. What's the reason for this? Just a general sort of ebb and flow of markets or what?
I think so. I think the one issue that seems to have unsettled markets is that we came out with some very good results from the mega tech companies.
Yes.
And markets didn't respond. I think they had responded in advance. And there seemed to be a bit of disappointment, and that's kind of triggered a sell-off. So we're seeing the NASDAQ is down about 2% today, and S&P also gathering a little bit of steam. Mm. I couldn't find any particular piece of information that really got it down. I think this is just the sell-in May syndrome. I think markets are a bit fatigued and needed to take a bit of a rest. We've had some really good results coming through. And, you know, there was a modest response to them. So I suppose this is the next move.
I said a couple of weeks ago when it came to the May thing, and I was suddenly reminded of selling May go away, which hasn't worked for a while. But I suddenly thought to myself, well, you know, if we've had this spectacular recovery over the last year after the global health crisis first reared its ugly head. And I just said, every excuse is for now the sell in May and go away thing. And it's turning out to be like that in the short term anyway.
So.
Of course, the markets will bounce back. But there's also another thing. There's the China story, because China is suddenly becoming quite bolshy. And Biden is also standing up to them. But also the chip story is quite interesting. That's another thing that Bloomberg highlighted today. Is to say there's a shortage of semiconductors, of chips rather. And maybe that's something as well. It's almost as though people are looking for an excuse to take profits.
I think so.
Don't you think?
I think you're right. I think they will find they want to take profits, and they'll create the reasons afterwards. And it could be chips. We know that there's a severe shortage, which is affecting production.
Yes.
In other words, creating its own shortage of output. So it's not only the chips, it's the products into which the chips go. That's a worry. The inflation worries, because the prices then spike. I'm just looking at, on my right now, I see an advert or a view on Bloomberg's on the timber story, which they continually air, you know, about how prices have gone up for timber and so on. I just think it just lacked momentum. It just lacked energy to drag people in. There were no new stories to get people excited. Look, overall, things are doing fine. I also think what was quite interesting was that at the end of April, huge amounts of money reflecting this nervousness, huge amounts of money actually went into money market funds, and some record flows into people just taking something off the table and taking a rest. So I think that's, you know, we'll live with it. It may gather momentum because it feeds on itself, but I must admit that it started off slowly. And, you know, it seems to be the selling is gaining a little bit of energy at the moment, because I think one person sells and then everybody else gets out as well. So anyway.
Yeah, and it's all to do with that thing, that ghastly thing called an algorithm. And so that when it gets momentum, then the momentum feeds on itself, and then suddenly it turns around and it goes in the opposite direction. But anyway, or maybe Melinda Gates is selling, who knows?
What a story.
Isn't that a story? I mean, after 27 years, you suddenly say,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows what goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah. We know so little about relationships, because they always appeared as a power couple, particularly with their views. I mean, their views on Africa and trying to sort out a lot of the issues, the health issues. And a very impressive couple. The amount of money that they have given away, their charitable organizations are quite extraordinary. So, you know, and she was a voice. I mean, she wasn't in the background at all. She was a powerful voice in a number of projects in which they were involved. in their philanthropic episodes in Africa and attacking diseases here. She could hold her own. So I don't know. Who knows what happens between couples, where they clash? I don't know. But this is a big number.
Well, officially it's $100 billion. It's probably more than that.
Didn't enter a prenuptial and say, "Hold on a sec, listen." I not unlike Bezos, who made his money, well after he was married. I think Gates had made a lot before he was married. If you think about 30 years ago, I mean, he was still one of the richest men in the world at that stage. So I don't know whether he really shares his net worth. I don't know. We'll wait to see.
He's
going
to
give us something to talk about.
He's the fourth at the moment. I suppose it's number one is Bezos.
Bezos,
number two is Musk, probably. And then who's the third one?
It could be Bernard Arnault from LVMH.
He
was up there. And, Buffett has gone down into number six or thereabouts.
Loser.
Big loser.
Interesting on these mega wealthy people. I was talking to somebody else about this earlier today. You say that there are 650 billionaires in the United States of America. If I know, and they've made $4 trillion this year just because. Well done to them, because their companies have reshaped the world. But if I was Joe Biden, I'd say, I'm not going to whack a tax on you. I want to sit down with every single one of you, and I'm going to say, right, I'm not going to tax you, but you're going to have to pay for this. You're going to have to pay for this bridge, or you're going to have to pay for this railway or this road reconstruction or something like that, and you will get a tax break on what you've paid for. So it's almost as though everybody wins. So instead of taxing you because you're obviously feeling a little bit miffed by the fact you don't know where your taxes are going, you'll know exactly where your taxes are going because you are going to fund a specific project. And I don't know. Maybe that's unworkable, but it seems, in my tiny mind, that it might work. Yeah, you get a tax break on a tax break.
You know what they do is that's why, they do get a lot of tax breaks from donating artworks and other things to museums. But I think you've got something there, something more real. I know they do it in a way already, but Buffett gave – this is interesting. I'd love to know Buffett because he's very friendly with Bill Gates. And he handed over his money to that foundation. He's given huge amounts. He says he doesn't know how to spend it. They do. Let them handle it. So, they're in charge of an enormous amount of money, the Gateses. I'm sure they'll continue.
Yes.
As business partners, in furthering their aims. And listen, they're also very involved in clean air and clean energy and issues like that. So,
right.
But who knows? We don't know what happens in the bedroom. In a house, we don't know. We don't understand the dynamics. I always say that it's quite interesting. I think that the best thing is just probably, and I'm not saying either male or female. I don't know whether these power couples really work. I've seen throughout history in the art world, in the acting world. They never get on together. There's always some kind of clash.
Well, they lasted 27 years. That's not bad. How long have you been married, by the way?
I'll be married in July, 50 years.
You see?
But the secret to success is that...
You make it work.
Buffett always says have low expectations. That's a success to a good marriage. Low expectations. So...
Well, obviously, Linda, your lovely wife, had low expectations. Otherwise, she wouldn't have married you. But there we go.
No doubt about it.
David, on the Stock Exchange News Service today, we had Equitas coming out, the property fund coming out with something there. I don't know. I didn't look at the number.
It's a very popular fund at the moment,
yes.
I think, because of the assets that they have. And they're also, I think, exposed to the UK. I don't know it as well. I just pick up. It's sometimes very difficult to cover everything, and particularly property, which needs a very special view and understanding. So I always look at it from the outside, but I know that it is quite popular with investors. So one needs to go through with an expert and find out how they see how they think about it. What is interesting is that they did increase their distribution, which is unlike a lot of other a lot of other property trusts or property companies.
That's very good. Okay, something else. I found this interesting on the Stock Exchange New Service, because obviously in these days where South Africa needs as much income as it can get, I wouldn't have seen this maybe 10, 15 years ago. It says Anglo-American PLC, its 2020 tax and economic contribution amounts to more than $25 billion. And they're obviously talking about contribution, I think anyway, to the South African economy. It's a big number, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's nice that they actually publish it, because, I mean, they're often attacked for what they do and or what they don't do. And, I mean, that's a massive amount to the fiscus. Of course, not all of it comes here, but, I mean, it is a big number. And remember, they've got some big assets. They've got the platinum mines here. They've got Kumba. And I know they're selling out of their coal assets, and that's still – they still earn a lot from South Africa. They're diversifying out of South Africa, and of course, they've got copper assets elsewhere, iron ore assets elsewhere, and that. But still, it's and it's also a look into what will come to the fiscus. Of course, it's double counting because Anglo Platts makes the money and Kumba makes the money. So, that it's coming through them. And of course, they're just reflecting what these companies are paid. They're not exactly paying it themselves. So it is coming through those subsidiaries, but it does give us an idea of what the contribution, is from those mining companies. And as Peter Major always says, if only the government was a little more open about mining, you can see what you can actually make.
Yeah, he's very vocal when it comes to the regulations and the hurdles and the barriers that are put in the way of people actually wanting to come to South Africa and dig the stuff out of the ground, because we've got so much stuff underneath the ground, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come as well. But maybe people just don't want to do it.
We're going into a big commodity boom. I mean, it's dominating at the moment. It's dominating the talk at the moment. How this is not only China, this is quite widespread. And Lindsay, once again, I saw forecasts for iron ore price of up to $200.
Well, it's not far away. $12 away from that.
I'm doing an article for Friday, for Friday Business Day.
Do you want me to help
and
you?
And I picked up on that. Yeah, I wish you could write it. I mean, I picked up on forecasts and how bad we are on forecasts.
Yes.
And admitting that we got the Rand completely wrong. I thought at best it would be 15.50, 16. It's something like 15. I mean, it's 14.20. It's somewhere around there. But I was also going through, and I have to get some information, but you see how bad some of the investment bankers or the so-called experts or skilled people in America were about the S&P. Totally wrong a year ago. We're forecasting something up, another 20% drop or at least a 10% drop, etc. Nowhere near the levels that we are today. And the best one is, that's why I'm bringing up, is iron ore, because I have a Fitch report which I kept. Where Fitch said, and it was only a month or two ago, they said, iron ore is going to 120. Now this is much too high. It's coming down to 100. And in the next few years, it'll be back 75 or 80, thereabouts. And suddenly we're going to 200. How can they actually put out these forecasts? Best they don't say anything.
David, go to just put in your Google search engine, just put in CRB index and have a look.
Yeah.
And it gives you the list of everything. I'm looking at iron ore now, it's 187. Well, that was the closing price yesterday. What else have we got here, which is up, it's only up 12% on the year, but there's some other really, really glamorous ones. Even the tin price is up to 12%, so a year to date. What am I talking about? The tin price is up 42.42% year to date. 42% up for tin. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what people use tin for. Aluminium up 22.5%. This is my theme of the week. It's the CRB index, because it was 112 as an index in May last year, and now it's 215 as an index in May of this year, which is quite extraordinary. Keep an eye on it, keep it on your watch list. It's amazing.
Lithium. I didn't know it was so easy to get it, yeah.
Lithium, you know, it's a battery thing. Guess how much it's up this year? Year to date, 93.55%. 93.55%.
I can click on it and it tells me.
Yeah, it tells you exactly.
Nice, this is a nice chart.
Yeah, so the most extraordinary. And if you if you're into pigs, then lean hogs are up 57.6%.
Oh, there you are, and lumber.
Yes, and live cattle, and that, live cattle hasn't done it, but it's very interesting that lean hogs have gone through the roof. Americans, I don't know if that's pork bellies or whatever it is. Lumber 84.3%, corn price up 55%. Yeah, this is extraordinary. This is my theme of the week and the year. Canola oil, 44% higher. And what is it that the US Federal Reserve said? It's just transitory, the inflation rise. That's not transitory at all. It's actually in the early stages of something.
Well, this has to work its way through. Yeah. And it has to work its way through into product. Whether or not the producers can actually pass it on, I think that's going to be an issue as well. Buffett, you know, that's a point he brought on and said that a lot of his companies have passed it on.
Yes.
So that's why he was cautionary about inflation, saying, you know, a lot of the businesses have passed it on to, you know, to the consumer. And I think the consumer's in a position where they're full of money, their income is increasing, and they can play, you know, they can pay a little bit more. So I think in certain products, you're going to find inflation coming through in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices before we get to the JSE closing prices, which you're going to give me because I've got a 15-minute delayed screen. Okay, the dollar rand is 14.47. The British pound against the rand is 20.09. The euro rand is 17.41. The euro dollar is 120.35, which is barely changed. The pound is 138.85 against the US dollar. That's the cable. Gold price? Goodness me, it's having a lovely day. 17.95, continuing that commodity theme. So in 24 hours, it's risen $27 or 1.5%. Platinum is up $38 an ounce to $12.56. And palladium, I've got just below 3,000. What have you got, David? Have you
got? I've got 2985.
2985.
Which is up one. Yeah, I don't know whether that's the future price or where it is. But it's been hovering around there. That's within touching distance of 3,000.
Yes, exactly.
It's not far away. So it was up 1% on where it settled yesterday. But I mean, iron ore, the commodity prices, I never know where the day begins and where it ends. You know, is this the Asian?
Well, it goes from one geography to another, so it's almost a rolling market action thing going on there. Anyway, in the States, the Dow Jones is down 0.7%, the S&P is down 1.2%, the Nasdaq is down 2.25%, and these are quite big moves. And just see the futures.
It didn't look that way.
It didn't.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we're talking. We're only, you know, we've still got plenty of hours in there, but it didn't start that way. It started slightly down, but it seems to be gathering, you know, as you say, it's just gathering a bit of momentum now and falling. But I haven't found any particular news, you know, that has got it like that. Sorry. Okay, so.
No, anyway, I was looking at the 10-year bond, but unfortunately, I use a website called investing.com, and they're temporarily down at the moment. So I haven't got the US 10-year bond or the South African 10-year bond because they say we're temporarily doing maintenance. I don't know if you can help me with the US 10-year, David. It was around about 162 this morning. Maybe it's changed with this market action in the equities market.
I have to now go on to something called. Let me see my.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll give you the crude oil price.
Fixed income. Here you are.
Yeah,
hope it's right. I don't know.
West Texas crude, while you're consolidating, West Texas crude is up 0.8%, well off its high, $65.28 per barrel. Brent crude oil is $68.45 per barrel, which is up 0.9%. Have you found that price yet?
I've got 1.56% on the US. Which is down. In other words, yields have dropped.
Yeah, quite substantially as well.
I did pick that up, stocks drop as tech creates a drag. There you are. So I think it's a sellout of tech stocks that is creating a bit of a drag here. I haven't got the South African tenure.
It was about it had come down quite substantially to about 9.10 from 9.26 yesterday. So it's all over the place. Anyway, I've got the top five major movers, and you're going to have to correct me here because you've got a better screen than me. But on the upside, Capital & Counties up 4%. South 32 up 2.75%, CAP up 2.75%, and Glencore up 2.6%. On the downside, Equitas after their results down nearly 6%. Barlow World down 4.75%. I don't know why that is. Process is a big loser, down 3.5%. And Anglo American Platinum.
That's your Chinese story.
Exactly.
I think that's just a bit of pressure on the Chinese markets. Tensions rising there. Yeah.
And Anglo American Platinum, despite the surge in the platinum price, is down 3.3%. Any other stocks you've seen today?
There was a little bit of a pickup. They were down 2.8% there. Yeah, the African Rainbow Capital was down about 5%.
Okay.
But no major moves. I was looking at the volume. I'll give you the volume very, very quickly. I know that you have to go, but value traded today, just 17 billion, which is light. It's very light. So that's at about, you know, with Naspers still 16% of the market, then quite a few commodity shares making up the balance. So Lindsay, it's been very, very light, you know, the last few days. We haven't seen a lot of trade taking place.
Just a quick one before we go. Just give us the all share and any other indices that have caught your eye. Thank you.
So the all share was down 0.62% at 66174. Resources flat. They were held up by Anglos and the more diversified miners just kept the market steady. Banks down for another day. You know, this is the third day in a row that we've seen banks. And then I think most of the setting came on the industrial side of the market. You know, that was perhaps the biggest faller of the day were, consumers and industrials. And you mentioned process. I think that had a big effect on the market.
There's one thing before we go. Thank you very much for that, by the way. Just one thing before we go. If you'd have had 6 jobs in 10 years and you'd been sacked from your last 3, you'd probably think to yourself, you know, I'm pretty much unmarketable. He's Jose Mourinho, or Jose Mourinho, has been sacked from Chelsea, from Manchester United, from Tottenham, and now he's been employed by a major Italian club, Roma. He's had 6 jobs in 10 years, 3 of which he's been sacked from, and he's clearly lost it. But he still gets these jobs. I mean, I wish I could do. I mean, I've been sacked from a lot of jobs. I'm unemployable. He's clearly not.
Well, I suppose he talks his way into it. And, he blames perhaps the owners of the clubs. And I don't know. I just find it very peculiar. But he didn't even wait. I mean, it's not even a week. Tottenham haven't replaced him, but he's found himself another position. So
well done to
off
him.
He goes.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
Okay.
David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.